I've had this song for a long, long time. I think before I even came to this church. So it's been many, many years. I haven't sang it very often, but I really like the words. As I walked through the door, I sensed His presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here, and we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. In His presence there is joy beyond measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know He has the answer. Reach out and claim it. You are standing. On holy ground, let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in on holy ground.
Thank you, Steve. Let's everybody please stand and turn to 480. 480, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We'll sing all four verses, and as we sing, the children will be dismissed to Children's Church. 480. Have Thine Own Way.
Well, good morning once again, folks. It's good to see everybody. Would you take your Bibles with me this morning as we get into the Word and go to Luke chapter 21, if you would, please. Luke chapter 21. It's good to see everybody today. Pastor Randy is getting a little getaway in today, but he shall be back shortly, and he's going to come with an abundance of fish. So if you need fish, see Pastor Randy, okay? But don't tell him that I said that. This morning I want to talk about being settled. In Luke chapter 21, this is Luke's account of the Olivet Discourse, in which Jesus talks about end time things in the short term for Israel, concerning things that will take place in 70 AD with the destruction of the temple in the city at the hands of the Romans, but looking even beyond that, if we look at the Olivet Discourse as it is in Matthew and in Mark, as well as in Luke, we see that the Lord is looking beyond what was going to take place about 40 years later in Israel's history, looking even down to the very end times and the things that would be taking place in the last days before His return. And he was describing a time of crisis describing a time of trouble, describing a time of tribulation. As he describes this, he says something interesting that's recorded for us in Luke's account. And I want to look at it with you this morning, and I want to base my message on this morning. And it has to do with being settled in our hearts. Are you settled in your heart this morning? You know, it's so important for us as Christians to come to a place in our life when we have all the issues settled. We know who we are. We know where we stand. We know what we believe. We need to be settled in these things. That's an aspect of maturity. And God wants us as Christians to come to a place of maturity in our lives in which we are no longer children, tossed to and fro, but we are settled in all of these issues of such importance. So I want to begin with verse 7, Luke chapter 21 and verse 7, and let's just read down through here, and then I will make my comments for the morning. Luke chapter 21, verse 7, and they ask him, that is the disciples, they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. But he says, Go ye not therefore after them. Don't follow them. Don't heed them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The end is not immediate. He says, you're going to hear about these things. These things are going to take place, but don't let them terrify you. Don't let them horrify you, because these things must take place, but the end is not immediate. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places or various places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. And so he's describing a time of difficulty and hardship and persecution and trouble that's going to come. And it would come in the immediate sense in the life of the apostles and disciples, and we read about it in the book of Acts. And it would come to that generation, to that age, and the things that we would see with the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in 70 A.D., but even going beyond that, taking the whole tenor of the Olivet Discourse into consideration and what Matthew and Mark have to say along with Luke, we see that Jesus is talking about the end of the age. What he's describing here is that there's a nearer fulfillment and there is a distant fulfillment. And the distant fulfillment has to do with those things that will take place at the end of the age just before Jesus Christ comes back again. And he's telling them what to be looking for. He's telling them what's going to take place. And then he says something very interesting in verse 14. Notice what he says. And he says, settle it therefore in your hearts. He says, get it settled. Get your mind set. Don't be unstable about these things. Don't be unsure about these things. Don't be vacillating in your hearts, but settle it in your hearts. Not to meditate before what ye shall answer. He says, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. But he tells the disciples that they need to be settled in these issues. And dear people today, if you are a Christian, and by a Christian, I mean only one thing. I mean, if you are a born again, washed in the blood, believer in Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross and his resurrection, I'm talking about that kind of a Christian. If you're that kind of a Christian, then you and we need to be settled in our hearts. We need to be settled in our hearts about these issues, about who we are, about what we believe, about where we stand. All of it, we need to be settled in our hearts. And he tells the disciples, be settled, get settled in your hearts. The word settle in this particular portion means to put in place. And the idea is a stone, as a stone is put in place in a wall and is fixed in that position, as a paver is laid in place and is in a fixed, stable position. It doesn't move. It's not to be moved. It stays in position. You and I are to settle it in our hearts, and we are to stay in position. We are to be unmovable. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Look there with me, would you? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. And I know that most of you have this verse memorized, but I want to read it this morning. I want us to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Notice what he says. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren. So he's writing to Christians. He's writing to you and to me. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable. I like those words. You and I are to come to a place in our life as Christians in which we are steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable. We have things settled. We're fixed. Our mind is set. Our heart is set. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always serving God. Always serving God, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so you and I are to be steadfast and unmovable. You know, what does it take to move you? What does it take to upset you? What does it take to move you away? You know, what does it take to keep you from doing what you ought to do? What does it take to get you to quit? Are you steadfast and unmovable? Are you steadfast and unmovable? Now listen, our Lord is telling us about, you know what, there's going to come times in your life, and there's certainly going to come times in the prophetic view of things in which there's going to be difficult and hard times coming. There's going to be difficult and hard times coming. And you need to be set. You need to be fixed. You need to be set. You need to be fixed. You know, we as Christians, we really need to stop and think about this in our lives. What does it take to hinder us? What does it take to move us? What does it take to get us to quit? You see? And sometimes, to be honest with you, it doesn't take very much. It doesn't take very much. And you and I need to be set and fixed in our lives when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to our relationship with God. Are you fixed in your assurance of salvation? Are you settled in your salvation? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Are you settled in that? Are you vacillating in that? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, you know. I'm not really sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. How can you know that? You can know that. That's what Jesus died for. So that you can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. Remember, I preached on that just a few Sundays ago. So you can know you have eternal life. Are you fixed in that? Are you settled in that? Do you have assurance? Do you know you're going to heaven? Are you fixed in your convictions for the Lord? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Are you fixed in those things? Are you fixed in your service for God? Are you set in it? What does it take to move us? What does it take to make us veer a little bit off the path? Well, we need to be fixed. We need to be stable in those things. You know, James tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You see, you and I are not to be double-minded as Christians. We're to be single-minded. We're to be single-minded. We're to have our eyes on Christ. We're to be fixed. We're to be unmovable. We're to be stable in our faith and in our service for the Lord. And so Paul is telling us to be steadfast and unmovable when it comes to the things of the Lord. Take your Bible with me to Hebrews, and let's look at an example. Hebrews. And let's look at the life of Moses for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. Now, most of you know the story of Moses, don't you? Oh, you don't. But we're going to find out about it then. We'll read about it. Hebrews 11, look at verse 24. You have it? It says this, Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses. Now, notice this phrase. It's interesting. When he was come to years. When he was come to years. Now, that implies that he came to a particular time in his life when he came to maturity, when he came to a position in life where he became settled in things. Before that, the implication is he was unsettled. And that's the way it is with most of us. We each of us has to come to a time in our life when we become settled in who we are, where we stand, what we believe. And until that time, we vacillate. And this is good for you younger people that are in here this morning. You know, you're kind of groping in life, trying to find out who you are and what you believe and where you stand and the kind of a person you're going to be. And in your Christian faith, you may still be struggling in these things that will identify you as who you are. And as we grow up, we need to come to a place in our life where these things become settled in our hearts and our minds, you see. Now, Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. You know the story. He was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised, he was a Hebrew, he was a Hebrew who was raised in the household of Pharaoh. Now let's read on here. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming or valuing the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, listen, Moses came to a time in his life. Moses came to a time in his life when he had to say, listen, am I an Egyptian or am I a Hebrew? Am I an Egyptian or am I a Hebrew? I know I was born a Hebrew. But since the time I was a little infant and my mother put me in that little bulrush ark and Pharaoh's daughter found me, since that time I've been raised as an Egyptian. Not only have I been raised as an Egyptian, but I've been raised in Pharaoh's household. I'm as a son of Pharaoh. And Moses came to a time in his life when he had to decide, am I going to be a Hebrew or am I going to be an Egyptian? Are you going to be a Christian? Are you going to live as a Christian? Do you have convictions as a Christian? Are you going to serve God as a Christian? Are you going to be obedient to God? Or are you going to live your own life? Are you going to live for the world? Are you going to live for yourself? Are you going to live for the pleasures of life? Are you going to live for the things of life, of this life? Or are you going to serve God? Somewhere along the line, you've got to make up your mind. Am I going to be a Christian or am I going to live in the world? Or am I going to try and keep a foot in each one of them and kind of walk through life? Pharaoh had to make up his mind. Am I going to be a Hebrew or am I going to be an Egyptian? And the Bible says that when he came to years, he made up his mind he was going to be a Hebrew. You see? Was he going to serve the gods of Egypt or was he going to serve the gods of Abraham, the God of Abraham? He certainly knew about all the gods of Pharaoh of Egypt. He was raised up in the worship of the gods of Pharaoh. Was he going to worship the gods of Pharaoh or was he going to walk away from them and turn his back on them and serve the one God, the true God of Abraham? Which was he going to do? He had to make up his mind. He had to become settled in that. You see? Was he going to enjoy all the pleasures of sin and prosperity that Egypt had to offer? They were at his fingertips. They were at his beck and call. All of the prosperity and all of the pleasures and all of the sensuality and everything that Egypt had to offer was at the fingertips of Moses. Was he going to choose to enjoy all of that? Or was he going to forsake that and suffer persecution as a child of God? Which was he going to do? He had to make up his mind. He had to become settled in that. Would he be loyal to Pharaoh? After all, Pharaoh had nurtured him. Pharaoh had taken care of him. Pharaoh had raised him. Pharaoh had given him everything that he had had. Was he going to be loyal to Pharaoh? Or was he going to turn his back on Pharaoh and stand with Israel? Which was he going to do? You see, dear people, you and I, as professing Christians, we have the same kind of things to settle in our hearts and minds, don't we? We have the same kinds of things to settle. Are we going to live for ourselves? Are we going to seek the prosperity and the blessings and the pleasures of the world? You see? Or are we going to give ourselves wholly and solely to Jesus Christ? Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to love Him? Are we going to walk in His Word? Are we going to obey Him? Are we willing to... Listen, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You don't want to wait until you're lined up against the wall to make this decision. You don't want to wait until the sword is at your throat to make this decision. Some people wonder, well, if I was living over in the Middle East right now and somebody was breaking down my front door with a sword in their hand and wanting my head, where would I stand? If they said renounce your faith or die, where would I be? What would be my answer be? Well, you ought to know that right now. You ought to know that right now. And if you don't know that right now, if you're not sure about that right now, if you're not settled about that right now, then you're not settled. You follow me? You're not settled. I know where I stand. I know where I stand, you see. You say, well, you can't know that. Yes, you can. You can know that just as certain as you're saved. Just as certain as you're saved. Jesus said, settle it in your heart right now. He says, when you get called before the synagogues, when you get called before the kings, when they're going to throw you in prison, when they're going to threaten your life, when you're going to do these things, have it settled in your heart. You don't even have to give it a thought. Settle it now. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And dear people, we need to be settled. We need to be settled. In Ephesians 4:4, if you look there with me, please, Ephesians 4:4. We are exhorted to maturity. Did I say Ephesians 4:4? I meant Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. This portion of Ephesians is talking about growing up. It's talking about coming to maturity as God's people. And he says in verse 14, as we come to verse 14, in verse 13 he tells us that we are to grow into the stature of a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the reason for the spiritual growth in verse 14 is that we henceforth be no more what? Children. That we're no longer babes. Now, if you've just been saved, if you've only been saved for a short time, then it's all right to be a babe in Christ. Because when you're first saved, when you first come to Christ, that's where you start. You start as a babe in Christ. And as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But if you've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30 years and you're still a babe, there's something wrong. Your growth has been stunted. And we need to be growing in Christ, growing in stature, growing in strength and grace and knowledge and wisdom and all of the virtues and characters of our Lord's nature. We need to be growing in Christ. And the reason, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, children are what? They are tossed to and fro. Children aren't settled. Have you parents noticed that with small kids? They're not settled. You know, they're not settled. They're tossed to and fro. And spiritually speaking, children's immature Christians are tossed to and fro, and they're carried about with every wind of teaching, every wind of doctrine, everything that comes along. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And you know, we ought not to be that way as mature Christians. In fact, we can't be that way and be mature Christians. You see? We can't be tossed to and fro by everything. We can't be tossed to and fro by everything that comes at us in life. We can't be tossed to and fro by every kind of teaching that comes down the pike. We can't be influenced by every new fad and every new craze and every new word and everything that we can't be tossed around by those things. We've got to become mature and strong and stable in our convictions and what we believe. How many have convictions this morning? You see, we have convictions. Convictions are beliefs that we hold so strongly that we cannot be moved from them. Convictions, to me, convictions are things that I believe so strongly that I would die for them. These are my convictions. I know who Jesus Christ is. I'm not trying to decide who Jesus Christ is. I know who He is. I'm settled on that. He's the eternal Son of God. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the one through whom the Father created all things. He is the one that the Father hath made preeminent over all things. I know who Jesus Christ is. I have no doubt in my mind who He is. I'm convinced. I have convictions about who Jesus is. I have convictions about my salvation. I know that I'm saved and forgiven. Not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for me. I have convictions. I have convictions about righteousness. That doesn't mean I'm perfect at all. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect at all. But I understand the manifest righteousness of God. I know where God stands on the issues. I know where God stands on the issues. You see? I'm going to talk about some of that tonight. You know, and Christians ought to know where God stands on the issues. Where does God stand on homosexuality? Where does God stand on gay marriage? Where does God stand on abortion? Where does God stand on these things? That's what makes a difference. It doesn't make any difference what a political party says about them. What does God's Word say about them? That's the only thing that matters. Have convictions. Not tossed around trying to decide, well, you know, I don't know, this argument sounds pretty good and that one sounds pretty good. Hey, what does God say? You know, somebody said to me a long time ago, trade your wishbone for a backbone. Take a stand. Have some convictions. Well, in any way, we can't be tossed to and fro. What did Joshua say to the people? He said what? Choose this day whom ye will serve. If the Lord is God, serve Him. Serve Him. Make up your mind. Get settled in these things. In John chapter 6, very quickly, John chapter 6, you know, if you study the ministry of Jesus very carefully, you see some interesting things, as I know you well know. Today, a lot of people, a lot of preachers and churches and religious organizations and all the rest of it are doing everything they can to get a big crowd. And it seems today like the big crowd is the sign of success. The bigger the crowd, the more successful. Now, I'm not against big crowds and what have you, but it's interesting to me that if you look at the ministry of Jesus, it seems to me like Jesus was doing just about everything he could at all times to thin out the crowd. He was thinning out the crowd all the time. And John chapter 6 is a classic example of that. And look at verse 63 with me, if you would, please. John 6, 63. There's a big crowd. There's a multitude following him, all right? In John chapter 6 is the chapter in which Jesus feeds the 5,000. There was a big crowd following him. And they were following him for various reasons. And Jesus knew that. They weren't all following him because they were just such ardent believers in Jesus, necessarily. But Jesus faces this multitude at this time, and he says this in verse 63. He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." It's the Spirit that giveth life. He's talking about the Spirit of God. He says, "The Spirit of God gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And he's looking at this great crowd, and he said, "But there are some of you that believe not." And what he's doing here, he is challenging the multitude. He's turning around and he's challenging this multitude. And what he's doing, he's calling on them for each of them to make a reality check. And he's saying, "Look into your heart. Where do you really stand? Who are you really? What do you really believe about me? Who do you really think I am? Why are you following me? Check your heart." He's basically saying to them, "Are you real? Are you genuine? Are you real this morning? Are you genuine? Are you really who you profess to be?" And notice what happens here. He says, he turns to them, he says, "There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." And so he challenges them. He says, "Look into your heart. Are you real? Are you genuine? Are you following me because you believe my word? Are you following me because the Father has drawn you? Are you following me because you're true in your heart? Are you a genuine believer and a genuine disciple? Are you following me for these reasons?" Now look what happens when he challenges them about the reality. And verse 66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back, they turned away, and they walked no more with him." They walked no more with him. Jesus called upon them to make a reality check. What do you really believe? Who do you really believe? Where do you really stand? Who are you really? And they had to look into their hearts. And many of them had to say, "I'm not real. I'm following him because of the loaves and the fishes. I'm following him because I want to see some trick or miracle. I'm following him because everybody else is following him. I don't know why I'm following him." You know? but he challenges us. Now, dear people, listen, my word is very simple to all of us this morning. Are we settled? Are we settled in our hearts? Are you real? Are you genuine? Have you settled it with God? Are you settled in your salvation? Are you settled in your assurance? Are you settled in your convictions? Are you growing up? Have you matured? If God forbid, if this were the day when somebody would march into this auditorium and line us up against the wall, are you settled? Well, we'll find out when we go out into the world and somebody challenges us. Somebody says, "You believe that? Well, why don't you do that? Well, what's wrong with that? Why do you go to church? You believe in God? What's all this stuff about Jesus? You don't believe that stuff, do you? I mean, that's not cool. What are you, some sort of a religious nut? Fanatic?" And on and on and on and on it goes. And when that happens, do we pull our heads into the shell? Are we settled? Huh? Are we real or aren't we? Or do we just get real in here? Jesus says, settle it. Amen? Settle it. Stop trying to walk the line. Stop worrying about what somebody else is going to say or somebody else is going to think. We have nothing to be ashamed about. Somebody says, "You believe in creationism?" Hallelujah, 24 hour. Amen. You know, 6,000 years. Don't have to be embarrassed about it. Don't have to be ashamed about it. You know, Jesus believed in it. He says, "Have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female?" Yeah. Let's be settled, folks. Amen. That's my message this morning. Let's be settled. Let's be settled. If you're here today and you're vacillating, you know what? Some of you young people, you're in school and what have you, and you're vacillating because you're hearing all this stuff and what have you. I want to tell you something. You're not hearing anything new. You're not hearing anything new. Every generation has heard it. God's word stands. The truth stands. Christ stands. Salvation stands. We don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed. Be settled. Be settled. Be settled. Are you settled? Amen. All right. Good. Amen. Be ready always, says Peter. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you. Amen? All right. Let's stand. 468, a simple song with a great message. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. How many can sing this and mean it? Can you sing this and mean it? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Jesus said, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. No turning back. No vacillation, not tossed to and fro. Standing, settled. Amen. Let's sing this. If you're here this morning, you want to pray, you can come and pray. If you need help, come and we'll get you help. If you haven't accepted Christ and you said, "I'm going to settle it today, I want to accept Christ," you come, we'll help you accept Christ today. Amen. Whatever it is, we'll help. 468, let's sing this together. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Amen. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Now, just in case you're here this morning and you have not yet made that decision, you have not yet made that decision, I want to ask you this morning, will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Settle it. Settle it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven's glories to die on Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin. He rose again victoriously from the grave, never to die again. He lives today. And he will save to the uttermost those that come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Will you come to him? Will you trust him? Will you settle it now? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, will you decide to follow him now? If you're standing here this morning, will you just step out from where you are as we sing this last stanza? You just come down here and stand with me just as a testimony to say, I'm deciding to follow Jesus today. I'm going to follow Jesus today. I'm going to stop vacillating. I'm going to put my faith and trust in him today. Would you do that? Nobody here is going to laugh at you. Nobody here is going to make fun of you. In fact, we're all going to be happy. And not only will we be happy, but the Bible says all the angels of God in heaven will rejoice over one sinner that repents. Amen? You want to make heaven happy today? Will you decide to follow Jesus? You come as we sing this last stanza. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
Amen, amen. Well, if I can be of any help to you, you please get a hold of me, call me during the week, or just get a hold of me and I'll be glad to help in whatever way I can. God bless you, folks. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Now let's go out of here a settled group. Amen?
Amen.
Settled. All right. Going to change the name of our church to Settled Baptist. We are settled. Okay. We are settled. No tossed and turning, no vacillation. We are settled and we are fixed, unmovable, and we are going to go on for God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for all of the things that you give us that make us stable, that make us fixed, that make us settled, Father. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. So, Father, help us to stand for you. Help us, Father, to be lights and salt and all the things that we need to be. And, Father, give us your grace and your power, your enablement. And, Lord, we will glorify you in our lives. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And board members, don't forget we have a short meeting, room 703. Thank you.